Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. I am Dr. Ruth. I trust the Lord you are doing well. And today we continue with my teaching out of the Gospel of Mark, the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are in Mark chapter 14. It is a continuation. So today is Mark 14b. Hopefully you have listened to the previous session, which was Mark 14a, because we are going to pick it up here in verse 27 out of the Gospel of Mark. Now, if you recall, hopefully you have listened to Mark 14a, the Lord Jesus had this last supper with his disciples. He had talked about the new covenant and they had sung the hymn. And now he is about to tell his disciples that they would abandon him. So that is the gist of this upcoming verses. The Lord Jesus would predict that Peter would deny him, and we will learn more about the Lord Jesus' experience in Gethsemane. Okay, so we pick it up, Mark 14, verse 27. The Lord Jesus is speaking. "You will all fall away," Jesus told them, "for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered." So this is the Lord Jesus quoting Old Testament Zechariah chapter 13:7. Again, Zechariah 13:7, which had been prophesied during the Old Testament time that the disciples of the Messiah would abandon him. So the Lord Jesus was telling this to his disciples. And then he continued, "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." So he was telling them future events, but obviously they still didn't get it. And we go on to verse 29. Peter declared, "Even if all fall away, I will not." So we see the Apostle Peter, because of the loyalty he had for the Lord Jesus and he loved him dearly, he declared boldly in verse 29 there that he won't abandon the Lord Jesus. He was so confident, but guess what? His confidence was all in the flesh. He was depending on his own human will and human reasoning and human strength when he made this statement. Because guess what? Hopefully you know the story. He would be put to the test. He would be tested, and obviously he would fail. So right away we are learning something. We have to be careful that we are not too quick to make a commitment. Because the Apostle Peter here was speaking purely from the flesh, okay, purely from human reasoning and depending on his own ability. Likewise, we have to be careful as Christians. We are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. We should not speak too quickly. We should not make commitments too quickly. We have to only speak what we believe the Holy Spirit has placed in our heart, because it will be God, the Holy Spirit, that would empower us to carry it out. So be careful how you speak, because guess what? Your words will be put to the test. You want to make sure you make commitments, or you only speak what is really from the Spirit and you have the support and the empowerment from the Holy Spirit to carry it out. So this was the first mistake the Apostle Peter made. He just spoke from the flesh too quickly and carnally and too immaturely. Okay, so the Lord Jesus is going to respond here. We are now in verse 36. "Truly I tell you," Jesus answered, "today, yes, tonight, before the rooster crows twice, you yourself will disown me three times." Let's hear how Peter would respond. "But Peter insisted emphatically, 'Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you.' And all the other or all the others said the same. Essentially, the other disciples made the same commitment that they would be ready to die with the Lord Jesus, but they would not disown him, and they did. Mm-hmm. And they did. Again, I have just explained how we have to be careful how we speak or how we are too quick to make commitments, okay? We have to be careful how we make commitments to one another, commitments to God, commitments to support God's work or to serve God, because if we make commitments out of the flesh without hearing from the Holy Spirit, we would fail. And then we would feel so bad and so discouraged. And that is what Satan wants you to do. So be careful. You don't be in a rush to speak. Think twice, ponder on it, pray before you commit to anything or to anyone. Okay, moving on. The next upcoming verses are amazing, and we are going to learn a lot about the Lord Jesus' humanity. So all of this would take place in the Garden of Gethsemane. So in verse 32, they went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, apparently the Lord Jesus had taken his disciples to this garden quite often. So now they are there, and the Lord Jesus told them, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Again, here we see the Lord Jesus taking the three disciples who were closest to his heart, asking these disciples to pray with him. He is deeply distressed and troubled. Verse 34, the Lord Jesus is saying, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. He said to them, stay here and keep watch. According to Luke's gospel, and as I had mentioned in the previous session, with regards to the ministry of Jesus Christ, it would be best rather to study all four gospels to get all the details that took place in his ministry, because each gospel writers such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they are all writing from different perspectives, but each of them has a little detail here, a little detail there that the other gospels don't have. Here is a classic example. Luke 22, 43 through 44 tells us that in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was in such distress that he bled out of his body, that the distress that he was experiencing was so severe that blood pooled out of his capillaries. And medically, even as a healthcare provider, as a doctor, this is medically possible. A person can be in such physical, emotional distress that your capillaries will bleed blood. So the Lord Jesus was in so much distress. Mark did not paint such a picture here, but the other gospel writers did. He was in so much agony about going to the cross that he was praying and crying, and tears such as drops of blood were coming out of his capillaries, just to show you the intensity of what was awaiting him because of the passion, because of the love he has for me and for you. We are already learning something about the Lord Jesus' humanity, how he was struggling as a human being with this decision. And remember, as I have said throughout these teachings, the Lord Jesus was 100% God in the flesh, because he is the only human being who experienced this supernatural conception by the Holy Spirit. His mother Mary was found to be pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus Christ bypassed that sinful nature that is his deity, which made him God 100% in the flesh. And because he was born by a woman, Mary, he had flesh and bones just as you and I. But because of his love for you and I, because of the Lord Jesus' love for humanity, and because of his humility, he humbled himself many times to serve. and to experience humanity so that he could relate to our problems in this current here and now earth. So we see the Lord Jesus in his humanity struggling in agony about this decision going to the cross. So let us continue here. So we are now in verse 35. Going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed. This is the Lord Jesus now in Gethsemane, that if possible, the hour might pass from him. So we see how in his humanity, he did not want to go to the cross. He just didn't want to go. And let me give you some perspective. If you are not aware, you have to understand that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had this perfect union that we can never understand. We accept and receive it by faith, because that is what the Lord Jesus teaches us in his ministry. So they had this perfect union. God, the Godhead, is perfectly sinless, perfectly holy, and hates sin, and dislike what the enemy, devil, was doing to humanity. So the Lord Jesus had never experienced sin in his life. He is God. He was God 100%. So for the Lord Jesus to go on the cross and to experience the sin of humanity placed on his perfect body, and to experience this temporary separation from God the Father, that was too much for him to bear. We can never understand this. We have to just accept it. So for the Lord Jesus to even think about going on that cross and the sins of the entire human race placed on his perfect body was difficult. Wow. But aren't you grateful that he loved you, loved me so much that he made that decision? I am eternally grateful for Jesus Christ. So let us continue here. So now he had been praying, asking for God the Father to allow the cup to pass by, cup meaning the crucifixion. We get now into verse 36, Abba Father, again Abba expressing intimacy with God the Father. He said, this is the Lord Jesus, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Ooh, this just blesses my heart. Thank you, God. The Lord Jesus is saying, Abba Father, everything is possible for you. Now, let me just pause. Do you believe that everything is possible for God? Can you trust God with all the impossibilities in your life? So we see the Lord Jesus saying, Abba Father, everything is possible for you, yet not what I will, but what you will. So we see the Lord Jesus saying that, God, if this is possible, let this cup of the crucifixion pass from me. Don't let me go through this. Don't let me go through this pain and suffering. Don't let me go through this separation from you for a moment. Nothing is impossible with you, Abba Father, but it is not my will. Let your will be done. The Lord Jesus knew God's will for his life. So we see how he submitted to the will of God the Father. We are already learning from the Lord Jesus how to deal with crisis, how to deal with pain and suffering in this present era. Number one, prayer. We have to chronically, constantly pray and just allow the Spirit to strengthen us through prayer. We have to seek God's will in the matter. And then once we are confident of God's will in the situation we are believing God for, we need to come to a place where we surrender to God's will and we rest and we trust God. That is what we are learning from the Lord Jesus as he is struggling with his humanity. Are you getting this? So whatever you're dealing with today, Jesus understands because he had been there. Whatever your crisis, your problems are today, whether it is rejection, abandonment, financial crisis, sickness and diseases on your body, separation from loved ones, the Lord Jesus understands. We are learning how he went through this in Gethsemane, and throughout his ministry, he was rejected. So as the Lord Jesus, dependent on prayer, talking to God the Father, we have to do likewise. As we pray, we become God conscious. As we pray, we take our minds, our hearts off of our problems, and we focus on God, and we pray for God's will to manifest in our lives. Because the primary role, please listen carefully, the primary role or primary reason for prayer is for God's will to manifest in our lives, in whatever situation we are dealing with. Mm-hmm. And as we are praying for God's will to manifest, which, by the way, will be the best for us, regardless of how bad the situation is. As we are praying for God's will to manifest in our lives, the pain and the suffering would be decreased because we would be God conscious, God focused, and we will be strengthened through prayer. Are you getting this? Prayer is the primary way we start to overcome crises and challenges in our life. And number two, we need to seek God's will in the matter. Then submit to that will in obedience, okay? And lastly, we are learning from the Lord Jesus here. We seek support from other believers because Jesus was asking his disciples to pray along with him. So right away, the Lord Jesus is teaching us some practical day-to-day lessons we can learn when we're dealing with impossible problems in our lives. Nothing is impossible with God. Hello, friends. This is Dr. Ruth here. Thank you for joining me today. I would like to share with you our ministry offer that is available to you as a donation to this ministry throughout my teachings out of the Gospels. So, I have two resources that I know will bless you tremendously because these two books have blessed hundreds of people. So, the two books all have to do with the ministry of Jesus Christ. So, the first one is titled, Who is the Real Jesus? And the second one is titled, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? So, for a ministry donation of $50 or more, this includes shipping and handling. If you live here in the USA, we will mail these two books to you today. Okay, it will provide added clarity, added teaching about the Gospels, the ministry of Jesus, the work of Christ. These are phenomenal resources that would add into the teaching here I'm doing in the Gospels and help you to really have a deeper revelation and walk with the Lord. So again, this comes to us as a donation, and we thank you in advance for considering that. Again, the books are Who is the Real Jesus? And the other one is Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? For a ministry donation of $50 or more if you live in the USA. But if you cannot afford both books and you just want one, it's okay too. We thank you for your donation. So, Who is the Real Jesus? For a donation of $25 or more, including shipping and handling. And then the other book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, would be $35, including shipping and handling. We will mail these books to you today. The advantage of getting both books is that you would save $10, okay? So again, this ministry offer is only available for those who live within the USA because we cannot ship overseas. But if you live overseas and you're listening to me, you can get these books from Amazon. So here is how you can donate through us directly to get this book as a ministry offer. Our safe and secure website is drruthtanyi.org/donate. Again, drruthtanyi.org/donate. And then if you live in the USA, we also receive donations through Zelle. And here's the telephone number for Zelle. 909-501-9031. Again, 909-501-9031. And then we also accept donations through Cash App, and the name there is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Or if you just want to bless us with it, a one-time donation to help us produce more teachings like this and pay for studio time, we thank you abundantly from the bottom of our hearts. And God says thank you. And God is so faithful that he will bless you back abundantly, exceedingly. So I want to thank you in advance for purchasing this additional ministry resources to help you to gain a better revelation of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Again, we thank you. Here is the teaching. Moving on, we are now in verse 37. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? So the Lord Jesus had been asking his disciples to pray with him, but they were so tired and sleeping. And the Lord Jesus is like, can't you pray with me during this difficult hour in my life? Again, I just want to debunk a wrong teaching that is going around that we have to call friends and pray for 1 hour because the Lord Jesus was rebuking his disciples that they could not pray 1 hour with him. No, that is not what this is saying. Listen, when you need support from friends, they can pray for you however long they are led to pray. Don't impose time frame how people should pray. Besides, it's not the length of our prayers anyway. God is looking whether or not our prayers are in accordance with his will. Remember, 1 John 5, I believe verses 14 through 16, and I am paraphrasing here, this is the confidence that we have, that when we pray in accordance with God's will, which is his word, he hears us, and we have confidence that the petition will come. So we have to always make sure we are praying in accordance with God's will. Okay, and our motives are right. They are aligned in a godly manner. So it's not how long we pray. It's not how fancy our prayers are. The question is, are you praying in accordance with God's will? Mm-hmm. Are your motives right? Mm-hmm. Okay, then of course, timing. You have to allow the manifestation to come to fruition at God's perfect timing. Okay, so now we are in verse 38, watch and pray so that you will not fall into a temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So true. So the Lord Jesus just depending on prayer to just overcome this difficult hour in his life. Once we are now in verse 39, once more he went away and prayed the same thing. Verse 40, when he came back, he again found them sleeping. Again, the disciples were sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Essentially, they were tired. They couldn't keep watch to pray. Verse 41, returning the third time, he said to them, are you still sleeping and resting? Enough. The hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. There you go. Again, the Lord Jesus calling himself the Son of Man, referring to his humanity. I have explained that because he was 100% God, 100% man. 100% man because he was born by a woman, Mary. And he had flesh and bones as one of us, the Son of Man. That is one of the messianic titles. So moving on now to the next few verses, we'll talk about the Lord Jesus's arrest. We are now in verse 43. Just as he was speaking, Judas, one of the 12, appeared. With him was a crowd armed with swords and clubs sent from the chief priest, the teachers of the law, and the elders. Now, if you recall in the last session, 14a, I had discussed how and why Judas Iscariot betrayed the Lord Jesus. So you would go back there and listen to that. So now Judas had betrayed The Lord Jesus, Judas knew where they were because, as I mentioned earlier, Jesus had often gone to Gethsemane with his disciples. So Judas brought the chief priests and the elders to where Jesus was. Now, the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away under guard. Verse 45. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, Rabbi, and kissed him. So we see here how Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus with a kiss. Again, all of this had been prophesied. We see prophecies being fulfilled here. The man seized Jesus and arrested him. Verse 47. Then one of those standing near drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. And the Gospel of John 18, verse 10, tells us that this disciple who struck the ear of the servant is Peter himself. So we see some brevity of Peter here, just to show you how much he loved Jesus. But the problem was, Peter was still acting all out of the flesh. Peter was still trying to rescue Jesus by human means. Peter still didn't get that spiritual insight that Jesus came the first time as a humble servant to die for the sins of humanity. And then at his second coming, he would come as a King of Kings and Lord of Lords and set up his physical kingdom. So Peter was still under the erroneous beliefs that many Jews back then had, that the Messiah was going to come and set up a physical kingdom right there, that it was going to be a militant Messiah. So Peter, again, acting in the flesh, relying on human strength and wisdom, struck the ear of the servant. But the Lord Jesus wouldn't have that. And if you were to listen to my teaching out of the Gospel of Matthew, the Lord Jesus had to rebuke Peter for doing that. So Mark didn't give us all those details here. But moving forward, we are now in verse 48. The Lord Jesus would respond. Am I leading a rebellion? Said Jesus, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I was with you, teaching in the temple courts, and you did not arrest me, but the scripture must be fulfilled. Exactly. Verse 50, then everyone deserted him and fled. Exactly. So we see how the prophecy that the Lord Jesus had prophesied in right there in verse 27, which was quoting Zechariah 13:7, as I had mentioned, we see that coming to pass right here, that when he was arrested, all of his disciples, including Peter, fled and abandoned Jesus. Isn't that something? We see the Lord Jesus in his humanity being abandoned by everybody. In times of crisis, he's being abandoned, friend. Have you been abandoned before? Have you been accused falsely before? And have you been mad at God? Don't be mad at God. Jesus Christ is the one who understands. He understands all of your problems, my problems, because he experienced abandonment, rejection, by his closest friends. They didn't believe in him. Just talking about this just hurts my heart. So when we are going through rejection and abandonment, which are some of the most painful emotions that human beings can experience, we have to always remember that because Jesus Christ experienced all of this, he qualifies 100% to bless us with strength and relief from that. So the best thing we can do is to call upon him and go to Jesus Christ, because he understands perfectly. He will never leave or forsake us. Don't be mad at God. Don't even be mad at the people who abandon you, reject you. Go to Jesus Christ. Let him encourage you in the spirit man, okay? Now, we come to verse 51, after all the disciples had abandoned the Lord Jesus, we are told in verse 51, a young man wearing nothing but a linen garment was following Jesus when they seized him. Verse 52, he fled naked, leaving this garment behind. And the scripture does not tell us, and Mark himself does not tell us, but church history teaches that this young man is Mark himself. So verses 51 and 52 is referring to Mark himself, the writer of this gospel. He was an eyewitness to all these events. He saw this. So I am going to end this session here, and I will pick up the next session with the Lord Jesus before the Sanhedrin. So what are the major principles and applications we have learned from verses 27 through 52? Number one, I had said this earlier, we have to be careful how we make commitments to God and to one another. We should allow the Holy Spirit impress upon our heart before we speak, so we are not speaking from human wisdom or relying on human strength, because our words will be tested. Number two, we see a lot of prophecies being fulfilled here. Okay, and number three, I talked about the Lord Jesus experiencing humanity. He was abandoned, rejected, dejected. How he understands how we feel when we experience those very painful and negative emotions. So number four, I want to talk about, I believe I have seven lessons we can learn from the Lord Jesus' experience in Gethsemane. Number one, we have to depend on prayer when we are going through extremely painful and difficult trials. The Lord Jesus himself teaches us out of the Gospel of John that in this present life, as in the here and now, we will face various trials and tribulations, but we should take heart, for he has overcome the world. So the number one way we start to deal with crisis is through prayer. And as I said, prayer is helping us to be aligned with God, because we would be God conscious and we would want God's will, which is the best for us, to manifest in our lives. And through prayer, we would, number one, be strengthened, and number two, be God conscious. Okay, number two, know God's will in whatever you're seeking God for. And I've had many Christians who don't even know God's will just quickly quote the Lord Jesus by saying, well, let God's will be done. But you see, Jesus Christ knew God's will for him, which was the cross. Okay, so he was struggling, as I mentioned earlier, because of that temporary separation he was going to experience on the cross. And this was a perfect sinless man, and he was going to experience all of humanity's sin and everything placed on his perfect body. So he was struggling with that. Just think about the worst crime that you've heard, or just the worst human beings, demon-possessed people like the Hitler and the, wow, you know them. All of their sins and punishment was going to be placed on the perfect body of Jesus Christ. It was too much to bear. But see, he knew God's will. So the application here is that don't be too quick to just pray, oh, let your will be done. Find out what God's will is in the matter and pray God's will over your situation. Because as I said, 1 John 5:14 through 16, God will honor his will in prayer. We are called to pray in accordance with God's will. Those are the only kinds of prayers that God honors, in accordance with his will. And then we have to be patient, and our motives have to be right. So whatever you're struggling with today, go to God's word, find God's will about the matter, pray God's will. Number three, once you've prayed God's will, accept the situation, just as the Lord Jesus Christ surrendered to God's will. Accept God's will for you, because it will be the best. Oh, come and listen to me. God knows all things. accept God's will in the situation and don't lose heart. Be firm and be consistent. It will be the best outcome for you in due time. Again, number four, never rebel, never get into disobedience against God. Jesus Christ did not disobey God. He prayed for God's will to manifest, and in humility, he submitted to God's will and in obedience. Likewise, you pray, you know God's will, you accept God's will, and you submit in obedience. Never rebel against God. Never rebel, never disobey, no matter how bad things seem on the surface. God is working behind the scenes, and Jesus Christ is with you. He will never leave or forsake you. Moving on, I believe this is a fourth lesson from Gethsemane. Seek support, okay, from like-minded believers. Ask others to come in prayer with you. Seek support, okay, because the Lord Jesus called three of his disciples to be around him during this challenging time. Likewise, call others to support you. And if there is none, pray and ask God to send somebody your way to encourage and to help you during difficult times. Number five, lesson from Gethsemane, trust God's plan. I know I said this earlier, but you have to come to the place in your life where you believe and you trust that God has the best plans for you. You may not see it, you may not sense it, but God is a good God. God is for you and not against you. God wants you to experience the best that you want to experience. God is on your side. Don't move from that position. Okay? Number six, again, Jesus understands. Depend on that. Know that even if nobody else on planet Earth understands what you're going through, Jesus understands because he had been there. Number seven, rest. Rest in the goodness of God. Stand on God's promises and rest. So this is all I want to say as far as the application, the lessons we can learn from Gethsemane. I am really trusting God that you have really been blessed by today's session. And I want to really encourage you, if you have not listened to the previous session, which is Mark 14a, go back and listen to that and learn a lot more. That way you can approach this chapter in context. And in the next session, I will wrap up this chapter and I will call it Mark 14c. So before I go, I want to really encourage you, as you have been blessed by these teachings and the ministry of Jesus Christ, we have a book that I really want to encourage you to get. Again, the book is simply titled, Who is the Real Jesus? Answers to 25 of the toughest questions about the real Jesus. Simple and straightforward to the point answers that will change your life. This is a book I wrote a few years ago, helping people to get a better revelation about the ministry of Jesus Christ and who Jesus Christ is and what he can and is willing to do in their lives. I really recommend you get this. This teaching is right out of the Gospels and it's really practical. A lot of information is here that will help you to walk daily with the Lord Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. We are only asking for a donation of $20 to get this book. But if you live overseas, please get it from Amazon because we cannot ship overseas. So on Amazon, just enter the title, Who is the Real Jesus by Dr. Ruth Tanyi. But please get it from us on our website if you live in the USA. And all you have to do is visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. It is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. Again, that is the Cash App address, the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And on Zelle, if you live in the USA, the Zelle telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we will add the description or we would add a link in the description box for you. We just thank you in advance for purchasing this book, and it comes to us here at the ministry as a donation that will help us produce more programs and reach more people. So we thank you in advance for your love gift donation, and together we are advancing God's kingdom. So before we leave, I'm not going to conclude that you listening to me today, you have made a firm commitment to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I have been saying all along that the Lord Jesus was God 100% and man 100%. And he fulfilled all the scriptures perfectly about the Messiah that were predicted in the Old Testament. We have been going through the Lord Jesus' ministry, how he is fulfilling scriptures. He is the Messiah, the only human being in the history of the world who experienced this supernatural conception by God the Holy Spirit, 100% God, 100% man. And he died on the cross, we just talked about this, for the sins of the entire world. That is out of 1 John 2:2. He died for your sins. He died for my sins, you see. Even if you claim you've not committed any sin, just being born into the human race, you are a sinner because of that transgression that Adam and Eve committed as recorded in Genesis chapter 3. So every human being born into this world inherits a sinful nature. Mm-hmm. Just being a human being, but God in his mercy, his goodness, manifested himself in the person of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago for the sins and sin of humanity. So have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you haven't done so, the Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Messiah, you invite him into your heart, he will come right now and indwell you, and as you confess that, you would be saved. So if you want to start to experience eternal life, which Jesus Christ came to give you, because he loves you so much, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. You are a whosoever. All you have to do is believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins and ask him to come into your life. You will be saved. That's all you have to do, in accordance with Romans 10:9. So if you are ready, just repeat a prayer after me, because you have believed in Jesus Christ as your Messiah. Just say, dear God, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my personal sins. Today, I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He died for my sins on Calvary's cross. Dear Jesus, come into my heart and change me. I believe you died for me. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. By faith, I believe you've accepted me. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. It's as simple as that. And you don't have to experience some emotion. You just believe, you take it by faith, that you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you did that genuinely, you have been sealed by God the Holy Spirit. And God welcomes you into his kingdom, the kingdom of light. You are a child of God. Welcome into God's kingdom. Friend, contact me so I can send you a book to help you to better understand your relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And just call upon the name of Jesus Christ daily, and he is there through his Spirit, through the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide you onto more truths and revelations about himself. And find a good Bible teaching church and start attending regularly and study your Bible and ask the Holy Spirit to reveal more of God and more of Jesus Christ to you, and to reveal to you his perfect will for you. And God, the Holy Spirit, is very willing to do that. Awesome. You are blessed. Father, I thank you today for all the listeners. We thank you for Jesus Christ, that even though he struggled in his humanity before going on the cross, we thank you for his humility, for his obedience, and for his accepting your will. He loved us. He still loves us, that he died on that cross for us. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for God, the Holy Spirit, that is in us and in the world and revealing all things to us. So, Father, I thank you for all the listeners today, that you are revealing more of Christ to each of their hearts. You are revealing to them your goodness, your mercy. Thank you for your love that surpasses all understanding. I just release your peace into each of their hearts. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you for your revealed word. And we thank you for today. We celebrate today because it is a day that you have made. And we are celebrating in this day. We celebrate your goodness. We thank you. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all of us say, Amen. God loves you. Please listen to the announcer who will tell you more how you can support our ministry with your love gift so we can produce more shows to bless others. And we thank you in advance.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address: info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info at drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.